We pray. Heavenly Father, glorious Lord, how you have blessed us to give us your one and only Son, that we might live with you for time and eternity. Bless us in this grace, dear Lord. Fill us with your holy word. Guide us ever onward and empower us to praise your holy name. In Christ our Savior, we pray. Amen. Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, probably screamed with horror when they saw the Romans actually hammer the spikes through Jesus' hands and feet and on into the wood. They probably turned into sobbing uncontrollably as they saw Jesus' body finally collapse, hanging limp, bloody, lifeless. I envision that they took the cross down and they slowly pulled the spikes out of the wood and out of his flesh. But then they had to wash him quickly, wrap him in linen quickly, and get him in the grave quickly, because the sun was setting and the Sabbath was about to begin. These women saw it all. They hung in there throughout the entire ordeal. And I would suspect for the Sabbath, they played it over and over again in their heads and in their hearts. Oh, what deep sorrow, unspeakable. Now, we don't know too much about these women, but all of the believers who were gathered on the cross were humans like you and me. When they were hungry, they ate. When they were tired, they slept. They liked to laugh and play with their friends and family. They worked hard for a living. And when they stood under the cross of Christ, they were crushed. Crushed beyond anything they had ever endured. We might have an inkling as to what they felt like. For us, the death of a parent or a husband or a wife or a child or a dear friend can be just so amazingly devastating. It might even be hard for us to grab our next breath because it feels like everything is just crushing inside and within us. And here was Jesus. Dead. Stone cold dead. Body covered with wounds. And then covered with linen. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary had shattered hearts. Hearts that probably felt like they would never be whole again. Peter, James, and John were probably overwhelmed, tormented by the thoughts, how can Jesus be this Messiah if he's dead? A dead Messiah is no Messiah at all. How could we be so trusting? How could we be so wrong? Does that mean we are still in our sins and doomed to hell? I wonder if with all their pain, whether it welled up in any of them to be so fearful that, am I next? Let's go into hiding. Or maybe it welled up inside of them to be angry, just wanting revenge against those Jews. Or maybe what it ended up turning into was bitter hopelessness. All is lost. The ladies mustered up enough energy to be able to go out to the tomb with their spices to anoint their dear friend's dead body. We can at least do him that honor. How ironic. Instead of them honoring Jesus, God should honor them. He sends out two angels to meet them at the tomb, to meet them with the strangest of announcements. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. But he was dead. He was not only dead, he was brutally dead. No one who saw the body of Jesus could think he was anything other than dead. How can these angels now say he's alive? But Jesus is not just alive. He is profoundly alive. How profound, deep, and overwhelming that is. That Jesus, who once was dead, is now alive. That heart that stood silent in the grave all of a sudden started beating. Those eyes that were closed in death all of a sudden burst open. And he who was dead raised himself. What a profound mystery this is, that first of all, that God himself should be dead, but then by his own command raise himself back to life again. And how profound that is, of what it actually means for you and me, not just Jesus. The angels are coming to these women with the news, he is risen, he is alive, and that challenges them to put one hand of faith on the cross and the other hand of faith on the open tomb and take in what God has done for them. To pay for all the sins of the entire world with his holy blood, and then to rise in victory. Both real, both God's plan to ransom and rescue us and make us his very own. Once dead, Jesus rose to pay for the sins of the world and declare victory. Jesus powerfully saves. The disciples were slow to believe the women. Luke records they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Well, of course their words seem like nonsense. I mean, in our world, dead people don't come back to life, do they? How many funerals have we been at? None of them have come back to life. And so for the disciples, it seemed like nonsense. People don't come back to life. Except there was Lazarus, wasn't there? And the widow at Nain. And Jairus' daughter. Isn't that remarkable? These disciples had seen people raised from the dead. Is it that far of a stretch in their thinking that he who raised others from the dead could not raise himself from the dead? But in this hour of anguish and grief, they're not recalling any of that. But Jesus powerfully saves them. Powerfully saves them from all the pain and anguish and doubt and fear that overwhelmed them on that Good Friday. They were beside themselves in misery. Jesus rose in glory and he stands right in the middle of their disaster. They're at a crossroads. It's like in one hand they're holding the bloody spikes that they pulled out of Jesus. And in the other hand, they're holding his empty grave clothes. What are we to make? He who was so profoundly dead is now so profoundly alive, and he has risen in order to save. To save us so completely. But Jesus wouldn't leave it just to angels to announce the message. No, no, he wanted his disciples to be absolutely sure, so he made his own appearance. It wouldn't be too much later and he'd be calling out Mary. And with that one word, to turn her from such grief and anguish to such sheer joy and pleasure. And throughout Easter, he would appear and reappear to his disciples in various places to show them the scars in his hands and his feet, that they could sit with him and talk with him and eat with them and come to truly trust he is alive. Our Messiah is living and powerful and here to stay and here to save us from our sins. Jesus came to stand right in the middle of their crisis. And oh, how their hearts went from the deepest of despair to the highest of exaltation when they were able to look into the eyes of their Savior. Are we crushed this Easter? Do we come with tears and grief? Perhaps we're gripped by the death of a loved one. The love of our life has been taken from us. What a hole, what anguish. Or perhaps we're weary because of our own sinfulness this day. The wicked deeds on our conscience that haunt us. And we just hope and pray that they'll never come to the light of day and no one will find out. Or maybe on this day we have a burning anger that is consuming us. Has our boss or our neighbor or our spouse been vindictive, cruel? Do they slander us, cheat us, lie about us, stab us in the back? Maybe it's the future that fills us with fear. What is going to happen tomorrow ties our knot in a stomach, or puts a knot in our stomach when we're battling things like bankruptcy or cancer or divorce. There's lots of things this day that can shatter us to our core. Why, even relatively common things like a flat tire on the interstate, or a steady stream of bills that we can't pay, or the loss of a job. When our life is truly a mess and there's pain on every hand, very often that pain wants to overshadow Jesus' pain and suffering. And we actually start to believe that there's no pain like our pain. And our tears might actually blind us so that we cannot see the glory of Christ's empty tomb, much like Mary Magdalene. But we have had times and it strikes us down. And that's when we're tempted not to see the infinite love that Christ has for us through his cross and his tomb, a love that will not stop. Sometimes it's good for us to remember that whatever causes us pain and grief and suffering, it is all caused because of sin. Either our sin or someone else's sin, or living in a fallen, sinful world. Satan so loves to take sin and use it to create more and more sins. But on this Easter celebration, we remember that God has washed away our sins in his Son's own blood. He protects us and guards us as we travel from here to eternity. What a colossal mistake it would be if we let the pain in our hearts drown out the angel's message. He is not here. He is risen. God may actually even give us specific pains, suffering, during the season of Easter, for the sole reason that we grab a hold ever tighter of our Savior's profound resurrection and how he powerfully saves us. He stands right in the midst of our grief and suffering and says, take your eyes off of your enemies. Take your eyes off of your sins. Take your eyes off of your pain and anguish and focus them solely on our risen Lord who's in this very moment, and trust. Trust. Trust that his blood has truly washed our sins away and made peace between us and the Father. To trust that if our loved one has died in the Lord, trusting in his resurrection, they are having an eternal Easter celebration with the angels on high. Oh, our mourning and grief might be very real and very painful, but it is also very brief. Quick, in the twinkling of an eye, we will all be home in heaven, rejoicing before the Lamb, and all that has transpired here will be a big nothing. For the only goal in life is to be home in heaven with our Savior. Blessed is the person whose sins are covered, who takes their courage and strength in the Lord. He tells us to put his eyes on him and trust that he has control of everything and everyone, just as he had control of all the evil forces that were against him on Good Friday. Nothing happened without him in control. So he has control over all the evil in our life and in our world, whether it's our evil or our enemies, those who want to do us harm. And he will work in all things for the good of those who love him. Trust him. He's powerful to save, even to save us from our own anger. Oh, how it burns within us as we look at those who have sinned against us. But he takes our eyes to the cross, where he has paid for all sins, even our sins, and to the empty tomb that spells peace. Cast all your cares upon me, he says, because I care for you. Oh, how he cares for us. Trust that he will always be in the middle of every problem for us to look to, for us to be guided by, for him to ransom us and rescue us and be our constant Savior. The disciples went into the tomb and saw it empty. Oh, that we might be able to take our loss, betrayal, heartbreaks, fears, doubts, and carry them into Christ's tomb and to truly leave them there. Leave them in his hands. What can people do to us? Our Savior is risen, and he's our constant companion. And his victory he's now given to us. His heaven is now ours. His blessing rests upon us. What do we have to be afraid of? Our risen Savior is victorious, and his victory has become ours. Just as everything changed for the disciples once they were able to see Jesus with their own eyes, so we pray, oh God, give us Easter eyes. Easter eyes that are able to see what others cannot see. Not eyes that are locked in on evil and bitterness and scorn, but no, eyes that are able to see the one who has loved us so enormously. To lock our eyes in on the one who knows us so intimately. All of our problems, all of our fears, all of our needs, he knows us so well and he loves us so dearly. It is he, our Savior, who has stepped out of the tomb and said, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." That right hand of God that was stretched out on the cross to bleed and pay for the sins of the world. That right hand that laid lifeless in the tomb and then came to life and passed through the burial cloth, passed through the walls of the tomb, and was lifted in blessing over his disciples. That's the very same right hand of God that carries us from day to day, from trouble to triumph, from problem to solution, and from here to eternity. The righteous right hand of God, nail marks and all, that we might be absolutely certain that because he lives, we too shall live with him. Easter affords us an ever-flowing stream of joy and peace that never ends, for our Savior is profoundly alive and with us and powerfully saves you and me, us. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, merciful Lord, we thank you for your grace and goodness. We would be condemned and doomed without you, but with you we have life and have it to the full here in earth and forever in glory everlasting. Bless us and draw us ever closer to you through the power of your gospel message. In Christ our Savior, amen.